Well, last week we kicked off our series of Momentum for Life, and we talked about just how important momentum truly is. That momentum is really essential to every part of our life, whether it's our faith or our relationships, our vocation, our physical or emotional, our mental health. And momentum is also vital to our spiritual life. And when someone has momentum, whether that be a person or a ball team or a snowball rolling down a hill, when something has momentum, it's truly hard to stop. And we know that to be true. And it's hard to stop because the things in motion stay in motion. And things that come to rest stay at rest. That's Newton's law of physics. And this is true. But what happens when it's our faith that comes to rest, or my relationship with a spouse or a friend? Are we destined to stay at rest? Well, no. And why? Remember from last week now, it's true that things in motion stay in motion and things that come to rest stay at a rest unless there is some kind of force that comes against those things at rest to start motion again. And folks, the force that is the very presence of, and that force is truly the very presence of God. It is God increasing the incline to what we struggle with in order that we might get moving again and finally have success in that area. Because you see, God desires quality of life in every area of your life. God wants you to be whole in every part of your life, in your relationships, in your faith, in your physical life, your emotional well-being. And our part in all of that is not, well, okay, God, you know, just kind of hit me with it kind of thing, make it happen. Our part is doing what it takes. Resistance training. It's like faith without works is truly useless. It's entering into, you see, those new disciplines of our life. Now, it's like no matter how much I want to pray or how much I pray, God's just not going to give me a six-pack for that, okay? Unless I enter into some new disciplines, some resistance training. But if I don't enter into those new disciplines, then I'll just keep on keeping on with my keg kind of thing. Because you see, God desires is for me to enter into partnership with God and to allow His Holy Spirit to begin to work within me and within you and with sweat equity to get momentum going in our lives again. To be a Christian is to be in partnership with God with all of our life. A Christian is a person who has made a commitment. They have surrendered their life to Christ. Being a Christian is not having an intention. It's never about being intentional. Christians are people who spend all of their lives following Jesus, not just intending to follow Jesus. Christians are going where Jesus is going. They're doing what Jesus is doing. They are being who Jesus was being. You see, the call of God on our lives is the call to be like Jesus. It is the call to holiness. And what's holiness sound like? What's it sound like? Wholeness. Holiness. Wholeness. They're very much related. I used to hear the word holiness and think of those ladies who wear their hair way up in the tall buns and always have their elbows and their knees covered and no makeup, no matter how much they needed it. But that's not, yeah, I know, that's not holiness, is it? And holiness doesn't even mean being good or being perfect. That's not what it is. Holiness means that you are whole in every area of your life. God is a holy God, which means He demonstrates total excellence and wholeness in His character. And so the Christian life is a journey of wholeness. It's not a belief system. but it's a total way of life. Now, we're in Psalm 122, and there are 15 psalms that are called the Psalms of Ascent. That's Psalm 120 to 134. These were the songs that were written for the pilgrim to make their journey to the mountain of God, through the mountain of God to Jerusalem, which took many, many days. It wasn't just like, you know, these pilgrims would get in their car and say, well, let's just go to church tonight. Their journey, it was a steep incline as they made their way to Jerusalem, and they made their journey at least once a year to make an excellent, honorable offering to God. Psalm 122 is the song of a person who has made the commitment to go where God is calling them to go, to make an honorable offering of excellence. And notice 122 and verses 1 and 2 says, I rejoice with those who said to me, let us go up to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing in your gates, O Jerusalem. The psalmist didn't say, well, someday I'm going to go up, does he? This is the psalm of a person who is on their way to where God is calling. They're not stuck or they're not hung up along the way. Like I said last week, every one of us has some areas or an area in life in which we do better than others. You might be a person who's just going great in your career, but maybe your marriage just doesn't quite reflect the excellence that it should. Or maybe you're taking just great care of your body and you're eating healthy and all, but maybe with your walk with Jesus is a bit lacking. Oh, listen, the best motivation that I know of is to getting unstuck in any area of one's life is God. It's acknowledging that it is not about you in your life. And people say, well, I don't have time to work out. Man, I just don't have time to exercise. I don't have time to study God's Word. It's not convenient. It's not about you. The best motivation that I know of for getting unstuck in any area of your life is God. The second way that people get unstuck is to deal with their rationalization we talked about. We dealt with this last week. Rationalization happens when you look at any area of your life and you make yourself the exception. Michael Slaughter from Gingensburg, when he was there, called this dealing with your big butt. All right? How many times have you said, yes, but I just don't have the time? Yeah, I really need to do that, but I just don't have the time. I would love to exercise, but I'm too busy. I'd love to eat healthy, but it's just too expensive. Or I'd like to get involved in a Wednesday night group whenever it starts up, but and before you're ever able to do and go anywhere, you see, we have to repent of rationalization. You have to repent of the big but. And so the first psalm of ascent, Psalm 120, is a psalm of repentance. And the third area that you have to deal with in your life is to get off stuck is procrastination. Procrastination is when you don't know where or how to get started in a particular area of your life. You know you just need to, but you just don't know how. And so we just don't do anything. And that's what I want us to focus on tonight. What's your area of procrastination? Proverbs 6:10 says to us, let's go back here. That's what happens when I don't have my advancer. Okay, Proverbs 6:10 says, a little sleep and a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit and scarcity like a armed man. Now, this is strong language, but it's not strong language to condemn us, but it's strong language to move us. Because here's procrastination. Every time you feel like you need to do something, you go to bed until it goes away. Okay, that's procrastination. Have you ever been there? You know, or you might eat. You know, you might sleep a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. And man, poverty will come on you like a bandit, scarcity like an armed man, and that happens. You know, what I want us to see here tonight is that procrastination equals poverty. Procrastination equals poverty. Now, again, in some areas of your life, you might have great wealth. You might be going great in one area of your life, and you see the prosperity by acting by faith. But maybe in another area where there is procrastination, you see poverty. And that's why for many folks, they hurt in one particular area of their life while they're doing great in other areas of their life. But holiness is about whole living. And God desires for us to be whole in all of our life. And procrastination feeds poverty. And when we fail, when we do less than our very best because we've procrastinated, well, then feelings of inadequacy and self-doubt starts creeping into our mind and into our spirit. See, procrastination is planting seeds of failure, because subconsciously we put off what God has put in our spirit to do today. And there's basically three characteristics to procrastination that we really need to deal with. And see if you recognize any of these within your own self. The first is called defaulting. Defaulting. Defaulting is when you make a commitment to do something, but you don't follow through. Instead, you avoid it by doing non-essential activities or by turning to ways that you've sought comfort in the past. For example, you make the commitment on Wednesday, honey, you know, hey, don't worry about it. I'll wallpaper the bathroom this weekend. I'll take care of it. And the weekend comes and you find yourself working on other non-urgent tasks, like your fishing reel or something like that. And or maybe you're checking your email for 2 or 3 hours or sweeping the garage floor. In other words, you default to non-urgent task. You see, anything worth doing is hard, which means it often causes us to sweat. The consequence of sin is the aversion to sweat. So, because the task is so hard. And by the way, wallpaper, and I just want you to understand, the devil invented wallpaper, okay? That came from Satan. And we have this little aversion to sweat. We default to non-urgent tasks, or we turn to comfort activities, to play, to eat. Sound familiar? Sound familiar? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I just love it. Okay. Lost my place. Defaulting. Anything worthwhile is worth doing. When we're tempted to resort to default behavior, we have to check that "I'm too busy" excuse. Okay, and here's one I hear all the time: "I'm too busy to do my devotions with God." It's not about you. If you're too busy to do your daily devotion with God, to grow in that relationship, to walk with that relationship with Jesus, then you've got the wrong priorities going. And that's just as plain as I can say it. All right? All of life is a journey of ascent, striving for the upward call of Jesus. It's where our sweat meets the blood of Jesus. Sweat and blood, they just kind of come together. So do any of you ever default? For me, it's so easy. It's so easy to default, especially when it comes to sermon prep. It's one of the reasons that whenever I get in here in the office on Monday mornings, and Mondays is usually when I begin working on my message, I don't like to. I try not to turn my internet on. I'll use my computer, but I got to be real careful, because if I'm not careful enough, I'll click on my email, and then I'm sunk. It's 2 hours later, and I'm going about those kinds of things. And the email's important, but then I got to deal with that, and then I got to deal with what was in the email, and then I've got to take care of other stuff, and then kind of stuff. So if you default, we have to recognize it, and we have to ask God to give us the strength to get beyond our defaulting. And where is this at now? Here's another one to procrastination, and that is that you're overwhelmed. Overwhelmed. You got so much that you do that you don't know where to get started. As we look at the Psalms of Ascent, I want you to get the picture of the temple, of the mountain of the temple of God up on that mountain. Whenever they said, when we were going to Jerusalem, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of God. You see, this is the only place that a Jewish person could make an honorable, excellent offering to God. Every good Jewish person was supposed to get there at least once a year. But no matter how good their intentions were, they maybe didn't make it. They start thinking, okay, we got to make the trip. We got to get. We're going to be gone about 10 days. We got 6 kids. Think about all the packing, all the stuff that we got to, all the clothes we got to get together. Then we've got to get the toys to keep them occupied and make sure that the donkey cart is all good. And we're, what are we going to eat, and where are we going to stay? And you know, it's just so much easier to just stay at home. You know? And at times, some of us have done that with church. Certainly people do that with church. How many times have you gotten up and your intention is to go to the house of the Lord to worship, but man, we've got kids to get ready. You know, we've got a half a dozen kids to get ready kind of thing. Or it's just so much easier to stay at home. Man, they're crying, and one of them doesn't feel good. And Johnny, man, he's got to get breakfast, and now he's got Cheerios stuck in his nose, and we don't know what he's going to wear, and it's raining outside, and we don't have an attached garage. It's just easier to stay home. Nothing worthwhile is easy. Nothing. What's it mean to work out your salvation with fear and trembling? Well, it's where your sweat meets Jesus' blood, and you've got to make a commitment to do the first thing first, the top priority. Commitment is different than good intentions. Commitment is to do the first thing first. So here's the key when you become overwhelmed. Bring someone alongside of you. Bring someone alongside of you that'll help you do and to be. And don't do life on your own. Be accountable to one another. It could be a spouse. It could be a friend here at church. It could be someone who's not at church at all, but they're just a good person in your life. Because you said we need each other to get where we want to be in life. And here's the third characteristic of procrastination. Disorganization. Disorganization. God, you see, is a God of order. Psalm 122 is the song of a person who has made the commitment to go where God is calling them to go. Their priorities are in line. This person has not made an intention or a declaration, but this person has made the commitment. The metaphor of this psalm is architecture. And you heard me say that last week. You see, the third verse says Jerusalem is built like a city that is closely compacted together. It means that it works. It works. It's well designed. It's tight. All the rocks are in harmony together with each other. You see, for our life to be all together, you need a blueprint. You need a life map. And what we are going to do in the next 5 weeks is making this map, this life map together, this map of holiness. Again, holiness means wholeness. Holiness means wholeness. So I'm going to be introducing five different activities that's going to give you momentum to reach God's excellent purpose in your life. And these five activities are going to help you to become organized in your faith journey and in your life. And so here they are, and you can remember them by remembering the acronym DRIVE. DRIVE. So next Sunday night, we're going to be spending time with D, which is devotion to God, spending time in God's Word, spending time in prayer with the Lord. That begins to give you the momentum for every area of your life. That is the first thing that we do to begin to get us unstuck, to begin to get that ball rolling again. And R then is for readiness for lifelong learning. If you quit growing when you're 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 or 70, you're dead. I love it that people like Benjamin Franklin, he invented bifocals at the age of 78. You know that? 78. It is continually allowing God to be the potter and us the clay for Him to shape and for Him to mold. Well, I is investing in key relationships like your marriage, like with your children, your grandchildren, with your parents, with your friends. Investing in key relationships helps to get our life off the unstuck and puts us in the right way and where we need to go with the Lord. And then V is visioning. And that is the ability to see through the eyes of faith. Being able to see through the eyes of faith. And then we're going to end up with E, and that is eating and exercising. And we'll probably throw a little bit of evangelism in there also. How's that? But you see, our life with Christ is meant to be a lifelong journey. A journey that touches every part of our life. God desires for His people to be holy, and holiness comes to us by the way of allowing God to bring wholeness to every aspect of our lives. And you and I have a huge part to play in all of that. So over these next 5 weeks, shift your life into DRIVE with me, and let us grow in our faith together and develop this strong, solid practice that will lead our life, certainly in the way of holiness. Let's pray. God, again, we thank You for the love in which You hold us, and how You bring to us, Lord, everything that we need in life to grow in You and to become strong and mature and to live out our days in joy, and how You help us, Lord, especially in those moments that we get stuck. You allow us to get, You help us, You nudge us to become unstuck. And so, Lord, help us to make sure that we are doing our part, that we shift our life into DRIVE, and that we truly focus on our devotion with You and readiness for lifelong learning and for investing in those relationships that are in our life, and certainly to see You, Jesus, as we vision and to truly to take care of this temple in which You've given us and to do all that we can do to fuel this body of ours so that we can be healthy and that we can be about the work that You have given us to do, Lord, because we don't want to leave this earth earlier than what we need to, but that we want to make a difference and we want to be healthy and be able to do that. And so, Lord, just just help us to just reach out and continue to walk in faith with you and to show us, Lord, where we need to move. And we just give you praise, Jesus, for that ahead of time. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.